Yeah, good morning and a warm greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful Sunday morning again. Nice bright sunshine and a wonderful opportunity just to come together as God's people to worship Him, to praise Him, and to give Him all the glory that is due on a beautiful Sunday morning. And it's only once a week, so I think we should be excited to come to the Lord on Sunday mornings to worship Him and praise Him. And before I go on, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, what a joy it is to come together as your people, to praise you and to glorify you and to honor you this morning, because you deserve all the praise and honor. Father, we surrender our lives before you, and I pray that our lives may be enriched by your word. You may fill us, and we may be able to live according to your will and purpose each day. We thank you that we are a big family because of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we listen to your word, I pray that you would come and minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Pastor has just announced that we are following a sermon series from a book by Tozer that is titled, Whatever Happened to Worship? And last Sunday, Pastor spoke on the wisdom of worship. And if some of you have missed that sermon, you can go to the website to listen to it, because it is a series and it would be good for us to be able to follow through what we are learning together. And today I've titled my sermon as The Inward Attitude of Worship. The Inward Attitude of Worship. Just to illustrate, let us imagine that we are attending a football match and we have a particular team that we are supporting. And no goals have been scored yet. And all eyes are just focused to that one ball. If the ball goes to the left, all the eyes would go to the left, and it goes to the right, everybody would focus their eyes towards that. From the defense, the ball gets passed to the midfield, and then from the midfield, it goes to the forward, and the forward person runs with the ball towards the goal. And all are looking to that one person with the ball. There's absolute silence and anxiety. Then all of a sudden, a small flick and the ball goes into the net. And then the stadium erupts with joy. There's so much of shouting. People are so happy and excited. That's what happens at a football match. What I'm trying to illustrate is that there is so much of emotional feeling involved in that because of the goal. So much so, even for us, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the forgiveness of God, eternal life. I think there needs to be so much of that excitement and emotion and feeling every time we come to the Lord. So my first point for today is genuine worship involves our feeling. Genuine worship involves our feeling. When I go to a new church, what stands out the most as an act of worship for me is the singing. I don't know how it is with you, but it's always the singing that would draw my attention. So there are some churches when I walk in and the singing is going on, they are lively and are praising God joyfully. That when I see that, that lifts up my spirit. It makes me feel so good when I walk into a church like that. There is another kind of church where I walk in and the singing is a drag at a slow pace. It almost feels as if we are attending a funeral. So I just don't feel like going there many times. But since I love the Lord Jesus Christ and I need to be faithful, I go to that church. But then I don't see that excitement and joy that needs to be there. So there are these kinds of different churches that we can find. What comes to our mind is that the church is a dying church or a sleeping church that needs to wake up. The author says that we should never forget that God created us to be joyful worshipers. But it is sin that drew us into everything else but worship. And he says that God reminds us that he is our creator and redeemer and Lord, and that he is delighted in our worship. Can you just imagine that the Lord God is delighted in our worship? Which means how much more we need to worship the Lord. There needs to be that zeal and enthusiasm and that joy to worship him, because he is our creator, our redeemer, and our Lord, and he delights in our worship. We have all been met by the Lord at one point in our lives, and that is why we follow him today. We have had an encounter. We have read in Acts chapter 9, 1 to 9, it's an account of how Saul had an encounter with the Lord Jesus when he was on his way to persecute the followers of Christ. That dramatic encounter is what changed the course of life, of his life completely. We all have been met by the Lord at one point. That is why we follow him today. We have had an encounter with him too, just as Paul did. And so we are to be drawn to worship him with our whole being. It is because of this encounter with Christ that the author feels that he must give God the full response of his heart and to be counted as a worshiper. And this is how he defines true worship. Worship is to feel in the heart. Worship is to feel in the heart. I believe that there is a place for feeling that is involved when we worship God. Tozer also says that we should be able to use the word feel boldly and without apology. And it would be rather be a worse thing if it was said that the Christian church are people without any feelings. He says that it would be a worse thing if it was said that the Christian church are people without any feelings. So just as I talked about the other church, the second church, which almost feels like we are at a funeral, I just don't understand how you could sing the joy of the Lord about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the love of God, and just don't have any feeling or expression. Singing the song with a very humble kind of look, I'm not sure how that expression would be. That expression of joy that needs to bubble out doesn't seem to be there. In Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said, "We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind." So if we love the Lord with all our whole being, then we worship him. We are supposed to do it with our whole being, which includes all our feelings as well. If there is no joy of the Lord bubbling inside of us, then it will show in our worship. What are the expressions of feeling when we are in the presence of the Lord and worshiping through songs or prayer? Maybe we lift up our hands. We clap our hands. We smile. Some might cry out of joy for what he has done for us. So we see that these are some of the expressions that can come out when we worship God, and these are the feelings that we express. I remember when I was with the University Evangelical Fellowship during my college days, we used to have a pastor that used to come to preach on a Sunday. And we were this young men and women, a bunch of young guys, who were just being influenced by the praise and worship movement that was going on during those days. So when we would sing, we would clap our hands and raise our hands in adoration. And so all those was happening. And one day when this pastor preached, he made a comment and said, "When you sing, what is it that you are doing? Changing light bulbs?" So that was a statement which I cannot forget. And today that same pastor is raising his hands up and praising God when they sing in their church. I don't know what change came, but then it's such a joy to see that change. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, 14 to 22, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn." Verse 16, "As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place, inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offering and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each other. Then all the people departed, each to his house, and David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovered himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.' And David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as a prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. But by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor.'" David danced before the Lord. Maybe it looked quite odd to the others, but then he knew God so closely. He was so happy that the ark was coming. And that is why, even if Michal had said all these things to him, he did not care. He said he would do it more. He can worship him in any form of expression that he wanted to. So I don't understand how we could worship God, who is our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord, without any feelings. Worship should always come from an inward attitude. Maybe it is time for us also as a church to be more expressive in our worship time. It is okay to lift up our hands. It is okay to clap our hands. We might look a little odd, but that's okay, because God is pleased with our worship. He's delighted when we worship him. Secondly, genuine worship happens when we are filled by the Spirit. Genuine worship happens when we are filled by the Spirit. We can never worship God genuinely if we do not have the Holy Spirit in us. We cannot manufacture worship. The author says that engineers can do many great things in their fields, but no mere human face or direction can work the mysteries of God among men. If there is no wonder, no experience of mystery, our efforts to worship will be futile. There will be no worship without Spirit. How truly it has been said. There will be no worship without Spirit. In churches, revival happens when there is a sudden outpouring of the Spirit, which leads to genuine worship by His people. And this is something that cannot be manufactured. Revival is a result of people hungering and thirsting for Him. With spiritual renewing will come a blessed spirit of loving worship. Tozer says that God's children rarely go beyond the boundaries of gratitude. We rarely hear people in worshipful prayer singing and admiring God for His eternal excellence. He says that many are Santa Claus Christians. We expect God to come and only give gifts, which is very elementary kind of love. So he calls that elementary kind of love. And he goes on to say, we need to go on. We need to know the blessing of worshiping in the presence of God without thought of wanting to rush out. We need to be delighted in the presence of utter infinite excellence. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate to us who God really is. And that way we can genuinely worship Him. If the Spirit is not within us, we may be working very hard and trying hard to worship. I think that will not happen. We cannot just manufacture that. It is the Holy Spirit in us that will illuminate to us who God is, will help us to understand who God, Father is, and then we can genuinely worship Him. A story is told about Blaise Pascal, the famous 17th century French scientist, considered to be one of the six great thinkers of all time, considered a genius in mathematics, a philosopher and writer. He had experienced a personal overwhelming encounter with God one night that changed his life. He wrote on a piece of paper a brief account of his experience, folded the paper and kept it in a pocket close to his heart, apparently as a reminder of what he felt. When he died, they found that worn, creased paper, and it read like this. From about 10:30 at night to about half after midnight, fire, O God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not the God of the philosophers and the wise, the God of Jesus Christ, who can be known only in the ways of the gospel. Security, feeling, peace, joy, tears of joy. Amen. These were the words written by Pascal. Even though Pascal was a genius, yet when God visited him, he could express it as fire. That's what he just wrote. One word, fire, which would simply mean the Holy Spirit must have touched him, and that must have really changed his life. In his time, Tozer said that what we need among us is a genuine visitation of the Spirit. We need a sudden bestowment of the spirit of worship among God's people. Just as it was in his time, I think things have not changed much even today. I think that is exactly what we need in our time right now as well. We need a genuine visitation of the Spirit today too, so that we may be able to worship God genuinely. I don't know how many of us are praying and asking God to send a revival in our church. And I want to start praying for this. Because I know when revival comes, there's going to be joy and happiness, love that would overflow. Our generosity would increase. Our lives would be transformed. And so much more will happen. And all these would then translate into genuine worship of God. My brothers and sisters, let this be our prayer this year. That in our church, the Holy Spirit would visit us in a new way again. And that we may be able to worship him genuinely this year. Let that be our prayer from now onwards. And thirdly, churches that fail God fail also in worship. Churches that fail God fail also in worship. Tozer asked this question: what is the real definition of Christian church? What are the basic purposes for its existence? What is the real definition of Christian church? What are the basic purposes for its existence? And he answers it this way: I believe a local church exists to do corporately what each Christian believer should be doing individually. And this is to worship God. To worship God. It is to show forth the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is to reflect the glories of Christ, ever shining upon us through the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Two things that stands out here, what he said: to worship God and to reflect the glories of Christ. To reflect the glories of Christ. That is what the church is supposed to be doing. It is a natural process for babies to grow in all aspects. But then when it comes to the church, why is it that many remain a spiritual baby? They have never grown up. They are just like the Santa Claus Christians. Sadly, there are so many heretical teachings in churches today, like the prosperity theology. You name it and claim it. Immortality teachings, hyper grace, and the list goes on and on. These teachings are the ones that makes one a spiritual baby. When we come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, we put our trust, we put our faith, we put all our hope. Because we know that all our needs will be met. Because we know that it is God who answers our prayers. But then, why do we get so stuck only into that? Just like what Tozer would say, Santa Claus Christians, only expecting needs and nothing else. We don't go beyond that. And that doesn't help. We will just remain babies in the church. There is a small church in Uttamnagar, where all of the members have come from other faith. In the beginning, they all came because of a need, like healing, financial problems at home, etc. And God surely did answer to their prayers. But then the pastor kept teaching them how to grow in the Lord. And today, they are mature Christians. when they would hear new teachings, they will not simply accept it, since they themselves know the word of God so well. I'm so proud of these believers because I've seen the way they have matured. They are past the Santa Claus Christianity phase and are rather focusing on important things like learning God's word more and helping one another in times of need. I think that is where we all need to be. We need to grow. We need to come at a level where we understand God's word, and nothing is going to move us or shake us when we hear such teachings. We live in a time when the Spirit of God is saying to us, how genuine are your concerns for lost men and women? How real are your prayers? We need to be aware of the state that we are in. Rome, one of the most civilized empires the world has known, went down like a great rotten tree. It had military power and a show of power on the outside, but Rome had crumbled away from the inside. It had lots of food and drink, circuses and pleasure, lust and immorality. It was evil and sinful. How did it go down? They fell into the hands of the Lombard, the Hun, the Ostrogoth. These were people who were not even worthy to care for the shoes of the Romans. Rome had become fat and weak and careless and unconcerned, and Rome died. The tragedy that happened to Rome on the inside is the same kind of threat that can harm and endanger a complacent and worldly church on the inside. The church is not a social club, not a religious theater. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. What grand title that has been given to us. We are so privileged. God is so good to us. So we have a great task as a body of Christ, and we do not do what we are supposed to do, then the church will fail, and ultimately the glory of God will depart from there. Sadly, today there are many churches, even in the West, where they remain as monuments only. And some that were there have been sold for commercial purposes, even to that extent. God does not want us to give up. We need to persevere. Then the Holy Spirit will again glow in the church. If the church is alive, then it will be a worshiping church and not that fails God. And that is what we are aspiring for. And that should be exactly what we want to see in our church today. As I will close, by way of reminding us again, as we have all experienced the love and forgiveness of Christ, let us worship him with all our being, which includes our feelings. Let us surrender ourselves to the yielding of the Holy Spirit. Then only we will be able to genuinely worship God. Let us be a church that is not failing, but a living, vibrant church that truly worships God. Let DBF Dwarka be a vibrant, living church that represents Christ in this world. As I always would like to read from Songs, as we are doing a series on worship, I would like to read in closing a beautiful song that is close to my heart. And it's not a new song, it's an old song. I can't sing, so I always prefer to read. If I could, it would have been so nice if I could have sung it. The Heart of Worship by Michael Smith. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Let that be our prayer today. It's all about you, Jesus, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Amen.